you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord today. This is a very special day indeed. This is the day on which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose up from the dead some 2,000 years ago. And it is so wonderful to see all of you here today, that you are not somewhere else having a holiday like other people in the world would have, but you are here today to worship the one true living God. And a very special welcome to all our friends and visitors who are here to worship with us this morning. And also we are very thankful that the Lord has brought our brother Robert and our sister Karen here. They were our leaders in our church some years ago. So good to see them back to fellowship with us today. Most welcome. And as usual, today we want to shout this victory cry. He is risen. All right? Aren't you glad that you have this living Savior dwelling in your heart? Aren't we proud of our Savior? Right, friends, we must be very, very proud of Him. And this morning, let us all rise and shout this victory cry. He is risen. Come on, let's rise up. All right. Three times you're going to say it. All right, ready, go. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Amen. Very good. Please be seated. Now, my subject this morning is, if Christ be not risen, if Christ did not rise up from the dead. Of course, this is a very hypothetical situation. He did rise up from the dead. But let's imagine that He did not rise up from the dead. What would the consequences be? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Not too long ago, I bought an electronic device here in Australia. Now, within the warranty period, this device failed. And so I sent it in to the manufacturer. The manufacturer was quite good. It picked my device up. And then it told me that the device will be fixed in about 2 weeks. So I waited for 2 weeks. But at the end of the 2 weeks, nothing happened. So I called up the manufacturer and asked about the status of this device. And the representative of the company said, well, your device is in the workshop. Obviously, it must be in the workshop. And I'll look into the service department and see what has happened. And then the representative said, your device will be fixed within this week. I said, okay, thank you very much. At the end of the week, nothing happened. So I call up the company again. I said, what happened to my device that I sent in? He said, oh, you're still looking into it. I'll call the service department now. And then she called the service department. And again, this representative said, oh, they are looking into it. Your device will be fixed within this week. Nothing happened at the end of the week. Another week went by. And finally, they told me that actually, we don't have the spare part here in Australia. We got to go overseas to get a spare part to have your device fixed. And finally, of course, the device was fixed. But it wasn't fixed until 2 months as of the time I sent in the device. Now the question then I have to ask myself is, can I trust this company? Can I trust the words of this company? Of course I can't, because it did not deliver what it said it would deliver. But friends, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is different. What He said He would do, He would do, and what He said, He did. While He was walking on this earth, there was one day when the Jews posed Him a question. Yes, now these were Jewish religious leaders, and I read for you the incident. John chapter 2, verse 18 and to 21. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about His resurrection. John 2, 18 to 21, I read for you. Then answered the Jews and said unto Him, the Jews here were the Jewish religious leaders, and said unto Him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Now these things refer to, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ's cleansing of the temple. He went into the temple and He saw these vendors and merchants selling animals, and there were money changers there also, and the Lord drove all of them out. He said, you have made the house of my father into a den of thieves. And so the Jewish religious leaders said unto Him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. The Jews thought that he was talking about the huge temple of Jerusalem, which was in building for 46 years, although the temple proper was already built, but there were various parts of the temple that were not built yet. And so the temple was still in building for 46 years. But the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't talking about that temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. You say, you destroy this body, in 3 days I will raise it up again. He was of course talking about his resurrection. Then there was another occasion recorded for us in Mark chapter 8 verse 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he would rise again from the dead. And these were not the only two occasions that he spoke about his resurrection. There were other occasions in which he did so. Now, what conclusion can we draw about the Lord? If the Lord did not rise up from the dead as he said he would, then all that he said about himself, my dear friends, could be discounted. Isn't it true? We cannot trust what he said, just as I could not trust this company that said that it would have my electronic device fixed within 2 weeks, but didn't fix it. Yes? Now, but friends, if he did not rise up from the dead, then what he claimed to be would not be true. He said, I and my Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I'm God, he said. That could not be true. He would be a fraud. He would be a liar. Now, if he was not a fraud or not a liar, then he must have been a madman. But friends, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was neither a fraud nor a liar nor a madman, because he did rise up from the dead. Now, let's consider this very hypothetical situation. Let's say that Jesus did not rise up from the dead. Now, if Jesus did not rise up from the dead, then our preaching would be vain. My preaching would be vain. It's no point my preaching this morning. Verse 14 says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if we would refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because I'll be coming back to this passage for a few times this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, if Christ didn't rise up again from the dead, then our preaching is vain. Our preaching is useless. It is a waste of time preaching. It is a waste of energy to prepare messages and to preach. It is a waste of time if you went out to give out tracts. It will be a waste of time for you to do that. It will be a waste of time for you to share the gospel of people with people if Jesus did not rise up from the dead. And you know what the Word of God says about those people who preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Word of God says that their feet are beautiful if they preach the gospel. We read this in Romans 10:15, which says, it is written, how beautiful are they, are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. How beautiful are their feet. Now, in olden times, when a country went to war with another country, the fortune of war, or the news of the fortune of war, would be brought back to the home country by a messenger. And it was quite possible in the earlier times, the messenger would be one who would be bringing the message back on foot. And he would run the long distance from the battlefield back to the home country. Now, the distance, of course, would be a long one, and by the time the messenger reached the home country, his feet would be very, very dirty, of course. His feet would be very, very sore. In those days, they didn't have nice running shoes like Nike running shoes or Adidas running shoes. But even if they had them, their feet would still be very, very sore and smelly, I would imagine. Now, imagine if the messenger were to bring back glad tidings. Our country had won a great victory. I say, even though their feet could be very smelly, could be very filthy, they will still look very, very beautiful to the eyes of those people who were the recipients of the wonderful message. Isn't it true? But what if the news was false? Yes, the messenger brought back the news. Good news, but it was false news. Then their feet surely could not be beautiful. In fact, their feet deserve to be chopped off because they brought back bad news, a false news, even though it was good news. But friends, the feet of them, and so friends, the feet of them that preached the gospel of peace are beautiful only if the gospel is true. If the gospel we preach is not true, then the preacher, the feet of the preacher of the gospel cannot be beautiful. What is so beautiful about the feet of those who preach the gospel if the gospel is not true? If Christ did not rise up from the dead and that the gospel they preach is not true? If the gospel is not true, then it must be lies. How can the feet of those people who preach lies be beautiful? They surely cannot be. Our preaching would be in vain, my dear friends, because we will not be preaching the truth, we will be preaching falsehood because Jesus did not rise up from the dead. It would have been very, very vain for the apostles to risk persecution to preach the gospel in the early church. And look at the risk that they took. I mean, if the message that they preached was not true, then it was really vain for them to preach the gospel and to risk the kind of persecution that they experienced. Now look at the risk that they took when they were arrested. Now, for example, in Acts chapter 4. Now, if you would just turn to Acts chapter 4 very, very quickly, but keep your finger at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18, I read for you the three verses, 14 to 20. And they called them, the they here refers to the Jewish religious leaders. They called them, the them here refers to Peter and John, the apostles, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus, because Peter and John had been preaching the gospel. Verse 19, and they were arrested. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You see, they were very, very prepared to suffer anything. Yes, they were willing to risk persecution to preach the gospel of truth. My dear friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then their risking their lives to preach the gospel would indeed be in vain. Then you look at the boldness in preaching when they were rearrested. Look at Acts chapter 5. You turn over the next page, Acts chapter 5, verse 27. And when they had brought them, the they here refers to the officers that were working for the Jewish religious leaders. And when they had brought them, the them here refers to the apostles, 12 of them. They set them before the council. The council here refers to the Jewish religious leaders. And the high priest asked them, verse 28, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then look at what happened next. Verse 40, and to him they agreed. The him here refers to this man known as Gamaliel. He was actually an upright person who was among the Jewish religious leaders. He said, if these apostles, these people are preaching falsehood, then their activity would fizzle out into nothing. So if they are in fact teaching the truth, then you can't stop them because it's the work of God. And so the rest of the leaders in the among the Jewish religious leaders agreed with him. And verse 40, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Now, the word beaten, my dear friends, you can be sure was referring to some very, very severe beating. It was not just a tiny stroke of the cane, but it was beating with big rods. they were beaten, and they commanded that they should not preach in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. My dear friends, my point is this. If Christ did not rise up from the dead, their preaching would be vain. No matter how bold they were, their boldness would be vain, their preaching would be vain, if Christ did not rise up from the dead. Then you look at the kind of sufferings that the Apostle Paul went through for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sufferings would be vain. His preaching would be vain also. I read for you the kind of sufferings that he went through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and onwards, I read for you. You don't have to refer to this passage. I read for you. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save 9, save 1. In other words, he was beaten 5 times, whipped 5 times, each time with 39 stripes, 5 times by the Jews. Thrice was I beaten with rods. As I said, the rods were not just tiny rods, they were huge rods. Yes? Thrice was I beaten with rods, 3 times. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Now the stones, don't imagine that the stones are little pebbles. The stones were huge stones. He was stoned. Yes, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and so on and so forth. Yes, his list of sufferings was indeed a very, very long one for the sake of the gospel. But friends, Paul would be suffering in vain, preaching in vain, if Christ did not rise up from the dead. Yes, his preaching would be vain. The preaching of great men of the Christian faith would be in vain. The preaching of Martin Luther during the time of the Reformation would be in vain. The preaching of John Calvin during the time of the Reformation would be in vain. The preaching of John Wesley would be in vain. Spurgeon's preaching would be in vain. Moody's preaching would be in vain. The preaching of our senior pastor, Dr. Tu, when he came for many years, would be in vain. The preaching of Reverend Quek would be in vain. The preaching of Reverend Das Koshi would be in vain. The preaching of Dr. Raymond Sachs would be in vain. The preaching of Dr. Carl Whelan would be in vain. All the messages brought by the preachers would mean nothing at all. Yes, all the preaching would be in vain if Christ did not rise up from the dead. And you Sunday school teachers, you Bible study leaders, you speakers at the kids' club, my dear friends, your preaching and your teaching would be in vain. Yes, forget about teaching Sunday school. How much time, how much energy, how much money do you spend preparing your messages to deliver at the Sunday school or to deliver at the kids' club? My dear friends, how much time? You shouldn't be doing all these things. You are doing all these things in vain. My dear friends, if Christ did not rise up from the dead, and then you hearers of the preaching today, for example, you hearers of the preaching, you hearers of the teaching, would be in vain. You're wasting your time here. Sunday after Sunday, when we come and hear the messages, yes, you are here hearing everything in vain. Useless. They are not going to benefit you one bit. You know why? Because Christ did not rise up from the dead. But thanks be unto God, our preaching and our teaching are not in vain. The truth is, Christ did rise up from the dead. Yes, that's why the preaching, the teaching of the gospel are not in vain. Now you ask me, how do I know that Jesus Christ did rise up from the dead? How do I know that he didn't just continue to remain in the grave and turn into dust? How do I know that he rose up from the dead? Now, of course, there is a good number of reasons as to why we say that he did rise up from the dead. But I just draw your attention to one of the reasons as to why we say that Jesus did rise up from the dead. And that is the changed behavior of the disciples. Now you cannot miss it, my dear friends, the change of the behavior of the disciples, if you honestly read the accounts given in the gospel, and if you read the account given in the book of Acts. Now, first, look at the behavior of the disciples on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. Just see how cowardly they were. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 56, I think it's worth a while to look at this verse, all right? Matthew 26, verse 56. Matthew 26, verse 56. I read for you this verse. Matthew 26, 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Now this would be with reference to his arrest and with reference to the subsequent crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. What did they do? What did the disciples do? All the disciples forsook him and fled. Did you read that? Yes. All 11 of them, particularly Peter, were so sure before, up to this time, that they would never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Peter told the Lord, "Lord, I will not deny you. Even if others were to deny you, I would not deny you. And Lord, if I have to die with you, I will die with you." And all the rest of the disciples said the same thing. It wasn't only Peter who said that. All of them said the same thing. But then on that night, when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, all of them forsook him and fled. Then, on the very first Sunday on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, you know, all the disciples were gathered together in this room in the city of Jerusalem. They were very, very fearful. They met behind locked doors. They were very, very fearful of the Jews. Yes, and we read this in John chapter 20, verse 19. And the Lord appeared to them. Then the same evening, the evening of the first Sunday on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, they met behind locked doors, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Not only did they see him, but they also felt with him. And then later on there were instances in which some of the disciples ate with him. And one of the disciples, the Apostle John, record this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He said this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of God." Say, we have witnessed the risen Savior. We have seen the risen Savior. We felt him, we've heard him, we've handled him. Yes, that was the witness of the Apostle John. Now you look at the behavior of the disciples. 50 days after the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of Pentecost, look at the behavior, how transformed it was. From cowards, they became fearless. I'd like us to turn now to Acts chapter 2. All right, Acts chapter 2. Now I think it's worth our while to look into the Word of God. Then you will understand that what I'm saying is not something that I invent, but it is recorded in the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. I read for you. Acts 2, 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him," meaning Jesus, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by your wicked hands have crucified and slain. You, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden up holden of it. 50 days later, or 52 days after the night on which he was arrested, then on this day, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles spoke to the very same people who arrested Jesus and who crucified him. The very people who crucified him. How bold they were. Yes, how bold they were. On that night when Jesus was arrested, they forsook him. They fled. They were so cowardly. But now, they were preaching to the very crowd, the very people who crucified him. And what was the message? That message, my dear friends, was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24 again. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Their message, my dear friends, essentially was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could the disciples be so bold, my dear friends? How? What was the cause of the change? Was it possible that they didn't see the resurrected Lord and then yet preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Possible? Of course not possible. Yes? And was it possible that they would become so bold in their preaching, even to risk their lives, if they had not seen the risen Lord? Impossible. So they had actually witnessed, had seen the resurrected Lord. Friends, rest in this truth. Death could not contain the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose up victoriously from the dead. Therefore, our preaching and teaching of the gospel are not in vain, because we are preaching and teaching the truth. Now let's continue to ask this question. Yes? If Christ did not rise up from the dead, what would that mean? Now friends, if Christ did not rise up from the dead, our faith would be vain. First, we said that our preaching would be vain. Next, our faith would be vain if Christ did not rise up from the dead. Now for our faith to be real, for our faith to be of substance, the object of our faith must be real. Isn't it true? The object of our faith must be trustworthy. What we trust in must be trustworthy. Yes. Now, in the year 1912, we read of the launching of the Titanic and the sinking of the Titanic, right? Year 1912. The ship was advertised as one that was unsinkable. It was a huge ship and was advertised as unsinkable. Now, do you think that the passengers, when they boarded the ship, would ever think that the ship would sink? No, of course not. They had great faith in the ship. They had trusted that the ship would not be sinkable, and so they boarded the ship. Yes, but then the ship sank. Yes, the ship simply was not trustworthy. On that maiden voyage, that ship sank. Now, we might say that the faith in the ship was very, very great. They trusted the ship that it would not sink. They were very, very confident that it would not sink. But then it sank. So, my dear friends, our faith, no matter how great it is vain if the object of our faith is not trustworthy. Friends, if Christ did not rise up from the dead, if he did not rise up from the dead, no matter how great our faith is in him, our faith would be in vain. Did you realize that? If he did not rise up from the dead. We trust that he will save us, but our faith will be vain because he did not rise up from the dead. He is a dead savior. How could he save us? Surely he can't. And then his promise, the word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and the house. My dear friends, we will have to dismiss that promise because it cannot be true, because Jesus did not rise up from the dead. Then the faith that brings peace to us with God would also be in vain. The faith that brings peace to us with God would also be in vain. Romans 5:1. Let me read this verse to you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The faith that brings peace to us would be in vain if Jesus did not rise up from the dead. No, my dear friends, we can't have peace with God if the Lord Jesus Christ, who is supposed to be the mediator between us and the one true living God, is dead and didn't rise up from the dead. If he didn't rise up from the dead, how can he make peace for us, between us and the one true living God? He can't, because he would then be a dead mediator. He can't make peace for us, between us and the one true living God. Now, if we don't have a dispute with anyone, we don't see the importance of having a mediator. But if we have a dispute with someone and we desperately want the dispute to be settled, my dear friends, we will sense the need of a mediator, particularly if we and the party that we are having a dispute with are not on talking terms, and the person whom we want to talk to refuses to talk to us. We will surely need a mediator. Now, years ago, as part of my job, there were times when I needed a mediator. You see, I was representing my company to negotiate with the union, and now and then we had disputes between the company and the union. And then we needed a mediator, because sometimes the union just doesn't want or didn't want to talk to me anymore. And so we needed a mediator. The mediator would be the person who tried to put bring the two parties together to settle the dispute. He usually was a government officer in those days. I don't know whether it's still the same or not, but in those days, he would usually be a government officer. Now, whether the dispute could be settled or not very often depended on the skills of the mediator. Now, it would be very, very disappointing for both parties if we couldn't get a good mediator. Or it could be very, very disappointing for us if we had a good mediator, but on the day when we were supposed to have the mediation done, the mediator was sick and somebody had to take his place. Somebody else had to take his place, someone who was not as good as he was. Or worse still, on the day when we were supposed to have this mediation, the mediator died. That would be terrible. Now, the chance of our peaceful settlement would then be very, very remote between us, between the company and the union. But friends, there would certainly be no chance of our being at peace with God. Or rather, I should say, there would surely be no chance at all for our being at peace with God, to be reconciled to him, if Christ did not rise up from the dead. We would then not have a qualified mediator to mediate between us and the one true living God. The faith that brings peace with God would be in vain. Yes, because we would not have a qualified mediator to mediate between us and the one true living God. We will still be enemies of God and would continue to be condemned sinners. But thank God, Christ did rise up from the dead so that he can serve very well, effectively, as our living mediator. Now then, if Christ did not rise up from the dead, the faith that makes prayer powerful would be in vain. Mark chapter 9, 23, the Lord Jesus Christ said to this man, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe." All things are possible to them that believe. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to this man who came to him because his son was demon-possessed, and he wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver his son of a demon possession. And the Lord said to him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." My dear friends, nothing would be possible if Jesus did not rise up from the dead. The Lord said, all things are possible. My dear friends, all things would not be possible if the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise up from the dead. We can believe sincerely, with all our heart, with our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. But friends, our prayers will be in vain, because there is no absolute power great enough to answer our prayers. Yes, the prayers uttered by us will be as useless as the prayers people make to their idols, which are dead objects. Yes, they have ears, but they hear not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have tongues, but they speak not. I always remember what my mother did. I told you this before, possibly. she, in the late years of her life, brought in an idol to worship, to meditate before. And she would chant before her idol late into the night, which she would pray to it. I know that she was very, very sincere. She was very, very earnest. But her faith was really in vain. Even though she was very, very sincere, and even though she was earnest in worshipping her idol, because the idol was a dead object, her prayer was powerless, because she was praying to a dead object. Now, my dear friends, if Christ did not rise up from the dead, our faith in Him that makes prayer powerful will be in vain, because, friends, we will be making our prayers, saying our prayers to a dead object that was buried 2,000 years ago and would have turned into dust over the 2,000 years. But thank God, our Lord did victoriously rise up from the dead. He is alive today. And because He is alive today, the faith that makes prayer powerful, my dear friends, is not in vain. My mother found that to be true. Yes, that was the day when she came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And she discovered that her faith, the faith that made prayer powerful, was not vain. Yes, the faith was real. It was not vain. The living Savior answered her prayers and gave her much hope and much joy in the remaining years of her life. And she found this to be true, this promise to be true. The Lord said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." The Lord granted her much joy and much peace for the remaining years of her life. The Lord answered her prayer. Her faith was not in vain, because she was praying to a living Savior, one who rose up from the dead. Now, if Christ didn't rise up from the dead, then our hope in Him would be in vain. Verse 18, you look at verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If Christ didn't rise up from the dead, then our hope in Him would be in vain. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those who died, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are fallen asleep, who had died, they would perish. There is no hope of heaven for them. It will really be very nonsensical for us to say to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now, how could we be present with the Lord when our Lord didn't rise up from the dead? So it would be nonsensical for us to say to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Every grave that we see in the graveyard will then be sending out a message of despair. Did you realize that if Christ did not rise up from the dead? What the atheists say would be true. Death ends everything. And if death does not end everything, let's say what the atheists say is not true. If death does not end everything, and if hell does exist, and Christ did not rise up from the dead, you know what it means? What it means is death would be a plunge into eternal darkness. It would be a plunge into eternal torment. That's what it means. We believers in the Lord Jesus Christ would then be the most miserable people on planet Earth. If Christ did not rise up from the dead, what Paul says would be true. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We believe that it's alive, but it's not alive. We would be of all men most miserable. Now, if Christ did not rise up from the dead, then those who died, believing that He did rise up from the dead, would be the most deluded people. Yes, because they would never rise up again from the dead. They believed that Jesus had raised up from the dead, and one day He would raise them up from the dead. But that ain't gonna happen, because Jesus didn't rise up from the dead. And if Jesus died, didn't rise up from the dead, and they believed that He did rise up from the dead, then of course they would be the most deluded people on planet Earth. Then we who are alive would never see the Lord returning. Yes, all of us who are living today, we will never see the Lord returning if Jesus did not rise up from the dead. The hope that we are going to have a new body, a glorified body like that of His, would be in vain. Why be here today? If we do not have any hope in him, if we don't have a living Savior, let's forget about church. Let's all go home because Christ did not rise up from the dead. But the truth is, he did rise up from the dead. That's the truth. Let me remind you of the changed behavior of the disciples. It is because their behavior changed from being cowards to fearless witnesses of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that the gospel went forth from the city of Jerusalem to the uttermost part of the world. We have the gospel today because the disciples witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and were willing to go up to risk their life, to give their life, to share the gospel with people. Now, if they didn't witness the resurrection, you know what would have happened to the gospel? The gospel would have died a natural death. Did you realize that? If they didn't witness the resurrected Lord. But their behavior changed. Their behavior changed because they saw the resurrected Lord. Yes, and then they worship him, they fellowship with him, they worship him, fellowship with him, and over the next 40 days, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared several times to them, and then they also witnessed the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, because he rose up from the dead, our preaching and the teaching of the gospel is not in vain. He said he will rise again. And because he did rise again, then all that he said about himself must be true. He must be the one true living God, as he said he was. He is the one true living God. And our faith in him, that we are saved, is not in vain, because we have a living Savior. And then our faith that makes peace between us and the one true living God is not in vain because we have a living mediator. He makes peace between us and the one true living God. And that mediation is effective because he is a living, powerful mediator. And then our faith that makes our prayer powerful is not in vain because he is the one true living God who is able to answer our prayers. Yes, if he didn't rise up from the dead, my dear friends, the faith that makes our prayer powerful is in vain. And because he rose up from the dead, our hope in him is not in vain. He has conquered death. It is absolutely true that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. This is absolutely true because he did rise up from the dead. He's the living Savior today up in heaven. So we can say, if I'm absent from the body today, I'll be present with the Lord. But if he didn't rise up from the dead, my dear friends, that is not going to happen. Yes? And then it is absolutely true that because he's alive, someday soon he's going to come back. Yes, he lives, he's up in heaven now, someday he's going to come back. And when he comes back, my dear friends, these events are going to occur. And these events will surely occur because these events are written for us in his word. And he says that these events will occur, they must necessarily occur. So let's look at these verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 to 17, and then we'll close. All right? Remember, these must necessarily occur. Why? Because he rose up from the dead. He's going to come back. So this must happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 to 17. Chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you see, talking about what? His death and his resurrection. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those who sleep in Jesus refers to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who had died. They believe in him and who had died. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, those of us who are alive, when the Lord Jesus returns, will not go before them who are dead today and then who will be raised up from the dead when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. They will go ahead of us. We will not prevent them. They will prevent us. In other words, they will go ahead of us. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who died in the Lord Jesus Christ shall rise first. And then verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet in the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those of us who are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ, at that time when the Lord returns, we will follow those who are raised up from the dead, from the grave. Christ will raise them up first, resurrect them, they will go up to be with the Lord, they will go ahead of us, and then very quickly we'll follow behind. Those who are alive will follow behind. Then you say, is this true or not true? What's your answer? True. Why do you say it's true? Because Jesus rose up from the dead. That's why this must be absolutely true. You understand? My dear friends, I hope you understand this message this morning, how important it is that Jesus rose up from the dead. If he didn't rise up from the dead, we don't have any hope at all for the future. But we have it, friends. He says it in the word, we have it. Now, if you want this hope to be yours this morning, what you need to do is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say this to him, pray this to him and say, Lord, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were buried for me. I believe that you rose up from the dead for me. I believe that one day you are going to come back for me. I sincerely do so, Lord. Please come into my heart and be my Savior. I want to repent from my sins. Please cleanse me by your precious blood that was shed for me on the cross of Calvary. Now, if you mean it, this hope of salvation is yours, absolutely, because the Lord says so. And these words are spoken, my dear friends, honored. These words are words of His recorded in the Word of Life for us. If you believe in Him, my dear friends, this hope is yours. So why don't you take the step of coming to believe in Him today? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the message of the resurrection. Lord, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ did rise up from the dead, so that our preaching, our teaching are not in vain. So that, Lord, the faith that makes prayer powerful is not in vain. So that our faith is not in vain. The faith that that brings peace to us between us and the one true living God are not in vain. And Lord, we thank you that our faith in you, our hope in you is also not in vain, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive today. Father, we thank you for this resurrection power that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can live lives that are victorious for him. And we pray for those who are still outside your kingdom. We pray that you will speak to their hearts, cause them to see how hopeless they are without the living Savior. Please, O Lord, we pray that you speak to their hearts to enable them to believe that Jesus is alive today. We pray that they may be willing to commit their lives unto him. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.